10-point message this morning, so you can write down 1 through 10. Yeah. Woo! Yeah, it's going to be a good one. But we're going to talk about the keys to the favor of God today. And this is a subject matter or topic from the Word of God that I really like studying and getting into. I've done series, I think this week, the last series that I did, it seems like it was last year, but it was actually in 2013. I can't believe that's when it was. But this message, if you have your Bibles, and I'm going to put them up on the PowerPoint like I normally do, but you can turn to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to kick it off with this scripture right here, Luke 1 verse 28, and it says, "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.'" So God, the angel was sent to Mary, who was a teenager. And so this favor, I just want you to know, it knows no age. God showed favor to Samuel when he was a little bitty boy. And all the way up to, Noah. And so this favor doesn't know age. And we're going to really look into why does God favor some people? Why does God's favor rest on some people? And then I'm going to go to the next slide. So that's our main scripture. What the angel spoke to Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And then we're going to look at a few things here. What is the favor of God? The favor of God, and I've got 10 points, so we're going to kind of go quickly through this. But if you can't take notes, I understand. I can email you my notes. I'll email you this PowerPoint so you can study it throughout the week. But what is the favor of God? Favor of God, this is some definitions that I looked up. Something granted out of goodwill is number one. Number two, a gift bestowed is a token of regard, love, or friendliness. Number three, preferential treatment. And number four is advantage. Those are all kind of sum up the favor of God. A couple other definitions that I found that I really liked were this. The favor of God is the guarantee of his presence and the provision of his power to accomplish his special purpose in and through your life. That's a mouthful, but I'm going to say it again. The favor of God is the guarantee of his presence and the provision of his power to accomplish his special purpose in and through your life. And then here's another definition. I like this one. The unexplainable evidence of God's goodness towards you. I love that definition. However, it's important to note that when I refer to favor today, I don't mean favoritism. A lot of people say, well, God's got favorites. Here's the deal. If you're saved and know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're God's favorite. Every one of us in here are God's favorite. We know that God does not show partiality, but he does show favor. And favor is not love, because God loves everyone the same. It's not grace. We are saved through grace by faith. It's also not about blessing, although God's favor leads to blessing. And favor is something more, and it will change your life. And I heard one pastor say this one time, favor is not fair, and you don't want it to be. God hands out trophies, but not every, it's like today, I want a trophy. Everybody gets a participation trophy, No, who gets a trophy is the winner. Amen? Is the winner. All right. Don't get mean on my soapbox this morning, all right? God's favor, I'm just going to tell you this right up front before we get into these 10 keys to God's favor. God's favor is not a formula. To find God's favor, we must develop a favor mindset. So it starts with your mind, renewing your mind according to the Word of God, how God sees you, how God loves you, all those things, and confess God's favor over your life and your family as well. And so what I want you to start doing in your walk with God is start using this phrase, that's the favor of God. Or here's another one. Some of you will remember this one from 2013, if you were here in 2013. I'm in the fog, which means that's an acronym for the favor of God. So you can look at somebody and say, man, it's the fog, baby. I'm in the fog. I'm in the fog, baby. That's the favor of God. And people will look at you like you're crazy. But that's how you develop the mindset of favoritism and the favor of God. I did this one time early when I was first walking with the Lord, and Jade and I were living in Elk City, and do it in the small things to the big things, to the very minute things that God's doing in your life, to the very big things. And so there was one day we were, I was going to go golf with some friends of mine, and I'd forgot my golf clubs. And so the guy that I worked for, he was a sales manager, and Jade and I had just started doing this. We were developing this mindset of, that's the favor of God. You know, we didn't know the word fog then, but we knew about the favor of God. And so for me to have this story's a long story, so I'm going to shorten it real quick. Just all about golf shoes, all right? I was wanting my golf shoes, and so I didn't have them. And we was going back to the house. My sales manager was taking me, and I knew if Jada was there, I was going to be able to get in the house and get my golf shoes, but she was fixing to go somewhere, so I didn't know if she'd be home or not. So we come around the corner where my house was at, and I saw Jada's car, and I knew that she was there. And I said, praise the Lord, that's the favor of God. And the guy looked at me like I had fallen out of off a cliff or a tree or whatever. And he goes, what in the world are you talking about? I said, that's the favor of God that my wife's still there, that I can get my golf shoes. And he goes, man, God don't care about your golf shoes. And I said, yes, he does, buddy. And then I just went and kicked his butt on the golf course. No, I don't even remember who won that day. But here's 10 keys to God's favor. And you need to do, but I'm just warning you, whenever, if you say it out loud, you're going to have somebody look at you like that. And it opens up the door for you to witness to them. And then they can start seeing God's favoritism on your life. All right, here's the 10 keys to God's favor. And you're going to think, Pastor Mark, this is so elementary. Yes, it is, but you've got to develop this mindset. You've got to understand these things. Here's number one, very, very simple. Number one is love God. Love God. Not love yourself, love God. Love God. And this scripture comes out of Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor. Everybody say, win favor, and a good name in the sight of God and man. Sight of God and man. There it is. Proverb, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Here's number two. So that's very simple. We understand that. Love God. Number two is we got to love people. There's some people that love God but don't like people or don't love people. We got to love people too. So this is number two. Love people. If you want God's favor, then start caring for God's people, for his people. And the word here is Jesus was moved with compassion, and compassion is love in action. If you're in ministry, all of us are in ministry, every one of you here are in ministry, you got a circle of influence. Is it may not be a pulpit ministry, but you have a ministry. We're called to love God and love people. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, that's where you can sum up the whole Bible with love God and love people. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And we need more people doing that. Amen. And I love this, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25. He said, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Now here's the deal. When you're loving people and you're going around doing good and helping people, don't toot your horn about it. Do it in private. Let God see it. That's your reward. Amen. In Ruth chapter 2, I love this story about Ruth. In Ruth it says, Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother in your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. So Boaz saw this, saw what she was doing, and said, man, God's favor is upon you. He saw her, the favor of God upon her, the way she was loving people. Way that she was loving her mother-in-law. And everybody said, so look at somebody and say, love God and love people. Amen. That's the Bible right there. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Here's number three, something you don't hear taught a lot about, but you need to hate what God hates. Amen. You need to hate what God hates. And I'm going to just give you in the Word of God the things that God hates. And Revelation 2:6, when I was studying this out, says, but you have this in your favor. There's that word favor. He says, you hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So I was like, okay, if God hates that, and he's saying, I have that you have this in your favor, I want to go study what the practices of the Nicolaitans were. So I did. And I can just sum it up in this. Pretty much, there's a whole list of things, but the summation of the practices of that group of people or that sect was that they dominated people. They dominated others. God's not into domination. Amen. All right. And so not with people. You're supposed to love people, not dominate them. And he said, that's something I don't like. And that's when Jesus was on the scene. If you know the religious system of his day when Jesus was here, that's what the religious system was doing, was dominating people. And Jesus came here and people were following Jesus because Jesus loved people. And it was a total foreign concept to them. They was like, this ain't like the church we go to or synagogue, you know, where they dominate me. You know, this guy actually loves me. You know, he cares for me. And that's what we need to do as a church body, is love people. Amen. Love God and love people. All right, here's some more things that God hates. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19 says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, talking about pride, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes. I mean, somebody that's just constantly, their motives are just evil. They're just constantly thinking of wicked schemes to do. Feet that are quick to run into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Don't do that. God hates all those kind of things. Don't be the pot stirrer. Amen? Amen. All right. Here's number four. So those are the things that God hates. Here's number four. 10 keys to God's favor. Number four is give gifts and offerings. And I'm going to teach you the way to do this, all right? Give gifts and offerings, your tithes and offerings, your gifts, your gifts above your tithes. And really, when you're doing your tithes, when you're supposed to pay, you don't give tithes, you pay tithes. I mean, it's what you're supposed to do as a Christian. Amen? But in Genesis 4:4, it talks about, it says, and Abel also brought an offering, and that tells you what it is, fat portions from of the firstborn. Everybody say firstborn. So it was his first fruits, firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. And it was definitely because it was his first, but I want you to see the motive and the attitude of heart with which Abel gave was because he was like, God is first, so I'm giving him my first. All right, the first fruits. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. And the reason why was because Cain brought leftovers to God, just what was left over. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. That's Genesis 4:4. So God wants the first. Abel's offering found favor because it was given first and with the right attitude and motive of heart. And everybody said, amen. So we want to be good givers and cheerful givers. That's how you do it. In Genesis 32, verse 5. So that's how you give to God. Genesis 32, verse 5. So every time you come in here, when on Sundays or however you set it up, when you give to the Lord, if it's every Sunday, every two Sundays, once a month, however, is when you come in here, you need to have a smile on your face. Amen? And rejoice and give to God because of the things he's given to you. Then in Genesis 32, verse 5, this is talking about whenever Jacob and Esau, you know, they were brothers and they had a conflict. And so to kind of ease that and to find favor with his brother, this is what Jacob did. He said, I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, male and female servants. Now I'm sending this message to my Lord that I may find favor in your eyes. So he was given a gift to have that favor. So sometimes giving a gift can give you favor with somebody. Amen? All right. Is everybody awake? Everybody learning something this morning? Okay, here's number five, 10 keys to God's favor. Number five is be faithful. Golly, we need faithful people today. Amen? We need people that are faithful. And I love this about Noah. We're going to go back in the Old Testament and what God said about Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. He said, so the Lord said, I will wipe away from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah was was righteous, says he was blameless, and he walked with God faithfully. And he built this big, you need to read that story, he built this big, gigantic boat without Home Depot or Lowe's. and you need to, yeah, no power tools either. You need to read that story. It's a powerful story. But that's why God's favor rested upon Noah, was because he was blameless, he was righteous, and he walked faithfully with God. And so we need people that are those three things, but we definitely need people that are faithful. Amen. All right, here's number six. This goes right along with what I just read about Noah. 10 keys to God's favor is number six, is be righteous and blameless. Be righteous and blameless. And this is where and how you do that, Pastor Mark, right here. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6, 33. And then Psalms 5, 12 says, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. You can be blessed with favor, and favor leads to blessings. Everybody said, amen. Okay. I don't know why, but I just feel prompted in my spirit to do this. I don't have this in my notes, but I just thought of something. And I pray before I get up here that the Holy Spirit would use my mind, my thoughts, everything. Even though I prepare and have notes, and I'm like, God, I'm going to follow your lead whenever I get up there. Yeah, I'm prefacing that to say this, is whenever I was reading that, I had a thought of a person that came to me, and she was stuck on Genesis 6 in Noah, with Noah. And she really wasn't a churchgoer. Okay, this has happened years ago, and it's nobody here today, so don't be looking around like, who was it? They're not here. It's happened years ago, and she came up to me, and she said, Pastor Mark, how can I serve a God that kills people? And she was talking about the flood. I was like, I didn't go to seminary. You know, that's what I wanted to say. And I was like, that is a great question. And I'm going to have to do some studying to get a good answer for you. And so I don't, this is a whole nother message, but I just felt prompted just to give a little tidbit of it, of what I learned. At the fall of man, the enemy fell as well, right? The fallen angels. In Genesis, you need to go back and read Genesis. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase this. But the Bible says that these fallen angels cohabitated with women and produced an offspring called Nephilim. And then they went about contaminating the human race, and it was very simple. There was a whole other world before the flood, okay? That's where you find in you hear all the history, the documentaries, and all the things of all these places that the giants, all the stuff that the giants before the flood, all this stuff that's going on. And so there was something wrong. Life, here, I'll just sum it up with this because I'm going to get off on a rabbit trail. Life is in the blood, and so the blood was tainted. And Noah had that righteous, blameless, walked faithfully with God, the blood in him. Amen? And so that's how God started all over. So God, I just want you to realize, God hates sin, and that's what was going on before the flood with mankind and the tainted blood and all that. And I don't have time to go into all that, but I just want to say that because God loves people. Amen. And God gave that rainbow and said it's never going to happen again. And so that's the promise that we have. All right, hope that helps somebody. And because I feel like somewhere along the way that one of y'all might get that question asked of you. And so you kind of, and I encourage you to go study that in Genesis. All right, number seven, the 10 keys to God's favor. Number seven is be submitted. Oh boy, that's a big one. Be submitted. Be submitted to God. Be submitted to whatever authority that God has placed over you as well. And everybody said, even if you don't agree with them. And everybody said, okay. We'll stop right there. Esther 2, verse 15. Esther 2, verse 15 says this, because it's going to be well with you on the earth if you do that. Esther 2:15, talking about Esther, says, when the turn came for Esther to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the harem, suggested. She was submitted to him because she knew this. She knew that guy knows the King. And so whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to submit to his process. Now, here's the deal. When you study the book of Esther, I'm going to tell you something about Esther. She was a perfect 10. Okay? She had it all. All right? Y'all know what I'm talking about, all right? She had all everything she needed to go. Alan does. She knows. She had everything, all right? But here's the deal, guys. She didn't just trust in her looks. She didn't just trust in the perfume that she had on. She trusted with somebody that actually really knew the King. And I'm going to listen to him, and I'm going to submit to whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do it. So Esther shows us how submission brings favor. She didn't take matters into her own hands, and this is an ingredient to receiving favor. She exemplified submission, humility, and confidence in God, and won the favor of everyone who saw her. And she won the favor of the King as well. This is the other thing that Esther did. Number 8, the 10 keys to God's favor. She was humble. Be humble and have humility. All right? Humility is something that you're not born with. You've got to learn it. You've got to choose it. It's a choice. Be humble and have humility. And the reason for that is because 1 Peter 5:5 says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5. And so going back to Esther, through her humility, Esther received immediate care and attention, provision, the best place, helpers, assistance, and attendance. Furthermore, her favor created favor for all around her. And through our humility, we can create an atmosphere of favor in our lives that can overflow to others. It wasn't her beauty or her perfume that attracted God's favor. It was her attitude of humility and submission. And we've got to have that. Men and women both, we've got to have that attitude of submission. All right, here's number 9. 10 keys to God's favor. Number 9, be honest. Look at somebody and say, just be honest. Okay, be honest with God. Be honest with those that are around you. And the reason why is this right here. Proverbs 11, verse 1. The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. And then Genesis 39, it talks about how Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant, talking about when he was in Potiphar's house. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything that he owned because he knew that Joseph was honest, was an honest person. Now, during all this time, I know we've been through, we're still here today, right? We had the election, you know, the inauguration, and we're still here. God's still on the throne, amen? And, but guys, we have, to be honest with you, I heard every conspiracy theory known to mankind. I had people private messaging me, you know, here's the deal. I read them all, and I thought, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen this week, you know? And that's where I was at. I read them all. Prophetic voices that I listened to that are in the body of Christ, you know, talking, you know, prophesying about the politics and all this. And there was one prophetic voice that I listened to a lot and read his blog and stuff, and he's the only, there may have been more, but he's the only one that came out and he was honest and he apologized to the body of Christ for missing it. And here's, and the way it left me was this, was, you know what, that's a guy I can trust because he was honest. And he went into this blog about talking about how he got caught up in it too, and how he, you know, he was prophesying some things that he wanted to happen, and how that we as humans, we're fallible. We're not infallible. We can miss it, is basically what he was saying. We can miss those prophetic words, and nobody's God, right? And then he ended his blog with God's on the throne. I was like, amen, brother. And you know what? Because of your honesty, I can listen to you even more. You know, that he was honest about that. So we got to be honest. Joseph found favor with Potiphar because he could be trusted. And Joseph found favor with God in all circumstances. I encourage you, if you want to learn about God's favor, go study the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis. And because God's favor found that man everywhere he was at, even when he was in prison, God's favor found him. God's favor can find you anywhere. Look at somebody and say that. God's favor can find you anywhere. All right, here's number 10. Number 10, 10 keys to God's favor. Number 10 is get wisdom. We need to get wise. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And this is, wisdom is a key to favor. As Solomon makes clear in the book of Proverbs, he said in Proverbs 8, verse 35, for those who find me, which is wisdom, find life and receive favor from the Lord. So here's what I want to tell you in closing today. As you use these 10 keys, I believe you will see the favor of God on your life. And remember, favor comes in stages, all right? It comes in stages. You have to grow in it, all right? You don't just get saved and boom, God just dumps all of his favor on you. You actually grow in it. You don't necessarily receive maximum favor all at once right when you get saved. And so as I've been studying this, I was like, okay, then God, what is the key to growing in favor? What's the key? And we looked at, you know, Noah, Esther, Joseph. There's tons of in the Bible. And here's what, and I want you to write this down if you're taking notes or make a mental note of this if you're not. Growing in favor, when you're growing in favor, what does that mean? Growing in favor, what I believe it is character development. You're growing in that Christ-like character. And you may be in situations at work that are rubbing you wrong on your job or you know, in a family situation, a family relationship and all that. Well, what's really going on, if you back up, is God's trying to grow your character, chipping off some things, you know, and those kind of stuff. He's a master at it. But and if you fail one test, guess what? You're just going to face it again somewhere else. So here's the deal. Don't be jumping from job to job. Amen. Because at that job, that's where God's got you at right now. He's working on you. And so it's character development. And we all need it. There's been times I was like, I'm running from this because I don't like it. It's hurting my flesh. And so I run somewhere else. And then I'm like, I'll be, gosh darn, here it is again. You know? And God said, well, you didn't pass the test there. You need to, I'm working on your character here, Mark. So here we go again. I'm like, well, I'm going to get it this time. And so when you're going through things like that, it's like, Lord, whatever you're trying to teach me, help me to get it. You know, I know I'm in my flesh right now, but wisen me up and show me what you're doing. And he will. He will, and he'll show you how to respond. A lot of times we do too much reacting in life, and we need to learn how to respond because your response is what determines your future. Here's the last thing. Growing in the favor of God depends on our first becoming favor-minded, then developing faith in the favor of God, and finally becoming determined to increase in that favor. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to say that again. Growing in the favor of God depends on our first becoming favor-minded, then developing faith in the favor of God, and finally becoming determined to increase in that favor. And I want that for all of us. I pray the favor of God over you guys every day. Jade and I both do. And then last scripture today is Luke 2, verse 52. I just wanted to show you this because it says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So if Jesus had to grow in favor, then so do we. Amen? We got to grow in favor. Everybody learn something today? All right, I want everybody to bow your heads this morning and just want to make sure, as we normally do, that make sure that everybody here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior, even those that are watching online this morning. This will also be on the radio next Sunday. And so I want to lead you in a prayer. And this is a prayer that just helps you to call upon the name of the Lord. Because the Bible says in Romans 10, if you've never done it, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and that he's resurrected and he's the Son of God, and you shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day and created a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Before we do the blessing today, I want some ladies to come up here, and we're going to pray over my daughter. I'm having my second grandchild tomorrow. I'm not having it. She's having it. Okay. Yeah. And, yeah, I need to rephrase that one. And so I'd ask some of the ladies in our church to come and pray over Taya. And do I need to get a chair?
No.
Isn't she glowing? She is glowing, and she's ready. Cameron, you want to come up here and stand by her? Yeah. You two are one. He had a part in this as well. he's daddy. Jarek's in the back in the nursery. Yeah. And so we're having a granddaughter, and her name is Ava. And Ava Lynn Page. I about said Haney, didn't I? Ava. Need Patricia. Can somebody get Patricia?
Yeah.
Please. Yeah. Okay, Luke. Okay. Wait on Patricia. So we're all excited. Thank you, ladies, for coming up here. And just want to, in fact, yeah, I'm going to get a microphone just in case somebody else wants to, if you have a word, I don't want to over Taya or over Ava or over Cameron or all three of them. And turn this on. And I think this is mic number one, guys, in case somebody has something. Okay, here, I'll give it to you, Betty. You can pass it to somebody if somebody can grab it from Betty. Did Patricia make it in here? Huh? Not yet? Patricia, run. Okay.
She can't.
Okay, that's all right. Okay. Well, let's pray. Okay. Yeah. Am I in the? All right. I'll get over here because I'm getting feedback from that mic.
Father God, we come to you right now, and God, we thank you for your gifts, the gift of your children that is just from above, from you, Father God. And God, we are laying hands on your child right now. Your daughter, that you, Taya, she is the daughter of the King, Father God, and we thank you, God, that you have just keep hearing for such a time as this, as Ava is being brought into this world. God, I thank you for what you are going to do through this child's life, Father God, and that you have chosen Taya and Cameron to raise her, and Jarek as a big brother, Father God, that she is the puzzle piece that this family needs, Father God, that each of them bring the gifts, talents, and abilities into this family, Father God. And we are so excited for what you have blessed Ava with, Father God, and completing this family and with that puzzle piece, Father God. God, I just, I thank you that all the concerns and questions that Taya and Cameron have had over this pregnancy, and that you hear each question, you hear each concern, and he says he has you. He has you, and he goes before you with this pregnancy and with this labor and delivery, and you have no fear. Have that faith, because he is going to guide each step of it. And I just, God, we just thank you so much for this family and what they have done and what they will do, Father God, for HFC, for in Cameron's church, Father God, as well. And we just thank you for joining them together and bringing these children, Father God, these gifts from you. And God, I just ask that everything goes smoothly tomorrow, Father God, and just be with them in Jesus' name.
Over Taya and Cameron and over baby Ava. God, I just thank you that the other day I was looking at something and it talked about how women are the portals to heaven. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this little blessing that's coming from heaven to us tomorrow. And God, I just pray, just Lord, that everything goes smoothly tomorrow for the C-section. That you be with the doctors and nurses as they take care of Taya and baby Ava. God, be with Cameron, and just thank you for the husband and the father that he is, and just pray a special blessing over him. And Lord, we're praying for speedy healing and recovery after the surgery, God, in Jesus' name. And so, God, we just thank you and praise you, God, that you're the giver of life, and we thank you for this. And Lord, this as I've talked about favor, this favor is now going down to another generation. And so, God, we thank you for your favor today, and we just pray blessings over Taya and over Cameron and over Jarek and over Ava. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 God is good. Amen. Baby Ava's up here moving around while she's being prayed for. All right, I want everybody to stand up, and I'm going to speak a blessing over everybody here today. Thank you for agreeing with us in prayer on that, and keep praying for tomorrow. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Hug somebody's neck and say, God's favor's on you. Never go back. I was blind to the truth, didn't know what I had. I was running, I was searching, but every place I turned for healing left me more broken than the last.